Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.
It's time for another episode of Birds with Friends. Just the
duo.
Feathery brethren, weather in any season to see the Eagles eating teams like Scrammy's top with cheese. It's Philadelphia. Both and Zach kicking it cooler than
two.
Penguins till Zach runs off with his valet keys. He's a real nuanced goose. Pull up a branch, get loose. It's time for some juice on some
Birds with Friends.
The early bird gets the worm, but prefers getting turned like a turn on some
Birds with Friends.
Both and Zach coming at you with steps and things flapping their wings on.
How do you have time to consume all this content? You're listening to Dave Spadaro interviews.
I take a morning bike ride and I listen
to it. Oh, I want to hear more about that, but go ahead.
No, the Schuylkill Trail.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Hello, everybody. Bo Wolf here, Birds with Friends on the Athletic Podcast Network. Big news at Eagles camp today as Jason Kelce, the erstwhile center, undergoes elbow surgery, and his status for week one is now in question. And so we bring in Zach Berman, who covers the team so deftly for The Athletic. And Zach, what is the update here on Jason Kelce, his short-term future, his long-term future? Where do the Eagles go from here? What should we expect from the timetable for him moving forward?
So Eagles center Jason Kelce, as you said, arthroscopic surgery with the elbow, which has been bothering him. It's an injury he's had in the past, and they felt, they being the team, and Kelce felt that by taking care of this now, it'll be the best to A, fix the issue, and B, hasten his recovery. My understanding is that the timeline is typical for this type, for scopes, you know, for what the team's calling like a cleanup of the elbow. And in that case, you're probably looking at, you know, 2 to 4 weeks and in time for opening day. Now, I don't think anyone's going to say firmly opening day, but my understanding is that there's optimism around that timeline, and it's fair to speculate an opening day return. It's August 9th right now. The season begins on September 11th. So if I had to bet, Jason Kelce would be out there for his 124th consecutive regular season start. Is that correct?
I believe it's 123. He's at 122 at the moment.
There you go. 123rd consecutive season start.
Now, I find this interesting and a bit fascinating, Zach, timetable-wise, because you have to think that Kelce, if he thought this was an eventuality, he would have had the surgery in the offseason, right? And so presumably he tried to play through it, be able to play through it in the course of camp. And now that it's been 2 weeks for him to have the surgery now makes, you know, week one a little bit in question. It's a bit of a tight timetable. Is your understanding that something may have gone wrong here over the first couple of weeks?
That's not what I shouldn't say. That's my understanding. I know there's discomfort. I know this is something that is bothering him, and obviously that's why they're having the surgery. I haven't yet heard pessimism about week one. So even though you suggest that it puts week one in the question, I don't think it's unfair to Kelce nor the team to speculate a week one return at this point.
Well, I mean, the job is speculation to some degree.
Exactly. I'm just saying I don't think week one is unfair. Like I think week one is a reasonable expectation from what I've gathered thus far.
Now, of course, if he can't play in week one, how would the Eagles proceed if there was no Jason Kelce? How will they proceed over the next several weeks?
So I keep pausing here to try to figure out what the bit is. And I see Marissa smiling.
Yeah, I'm not sure either, Zach.
Yeah, so if I seem hesitant, it's because I was ready for a normal top of the show. And now I'm trying to figure out if there's a joke that I'm not in on. But I will answer the question. Cam Jurgens, the second round pick, has been the first team center when Kelce's been out. You saw that earlier this summer when Kelce was recovering from COVID. And today, Cam Jurgens, first team center. And Cam Jurgens, as Bo has documented on this podcast, we're at practice 9 now. So this is our 8th podcast because we didn't do one after the Sunday night practice. Cam Jurgens has been playing well. He's going to get more work here in these next few weeks. But again, I am not operating as if Jason Kelce is going to miss time. If we are September 1st and this is still a question, then that's when I would say raise alarm. I think an elbow cleanup on August 9th does not preclude you from playing week one from the way I'm operating at this point.
Well, I have seen some timetables as more of the 4 to 6 week variety as opposed to the 2 to 4, which I think would put it in question. Jurgens, the second round rookie from Nebraska. What else do we know about him? And do you think that there's a small part of the Eagles front office that might be sort of curious to just see how things go with Jurgens and the first team and no Kelce?
Well, to answer the latter part of the question, no. I don't think that there's a part of the Eagles front office that wants to see an Eagles game without Jason Kelce in the starting lineup, right? There's a reason why they paid up this year. There's a reason why, as our old friend Shil Kapadia said, that like there's no hometown discount for Jason Kelce. They think he's an elite center. He is an elite center, and he changes the offensive line. But that said, I don't think it's the worst thing in the world for Cam Jurgens to get some snaps during these next few weeks. What do we know about him? Athletic center, he's developing well. He's held up decently in practices. Jason Kelce, I don't want to say he's the handpicked successor, but Jason Kelce, as we heard on draft night, had a role in the scouting of Cam Jurgens. The Eagles identified him as the center of the future. They're keeping Landon Dickerson at left guard because of Cam Jurgens' presence. Right. And Cam Jurgens, the way he's built, the way he moves, there's some Kelce in him. Now, I think it's, and Bo has made this point in the past, it does almost a disservice to Jason Kelce only to focus on the athleticism because so much of what he does well is between the ears. But Cam Jurgens seems, from what we've heard throughout this process, does a good job processing, and obviously he's learning from Jason Kelce. Real quick here, for precedent, and I understand not all injuries are the same, not all positions are the same, but for context on an elbow scope, Roddy White, the former Falcons wide receiver, he underwent this surgery on August 24th, 2015. So a little later into camp, actually, it's 15 days later. And returned to play week one against the Eagles that year. And that was September 14th, 2015. So again, I'm not suggesting that playing wide receiver is the same as playing center. I don't know how Jason Kelce's injury compares to Roddy White's injury, but the actual procedure, and if we're doing it like just comparing the recovery from the procedure, that would put him within that timeline.
One day I'd love to do an episode on the word underwent and why it's always the word used for surgery and so rarely used otherwise. But
that sounds like a riveting podcast, by the way.
Well, before we get to that, we'll get to that another time. But we are fortunate in this episode to also be joined by an offensive line expert in Marissa Dunn. And I'd like to send it over to you now, Marissa, for just can you sort of explain to us and tell us What would the mindset be like for a Cam Jurgens, going from being a backup to getting thrown into the mix with the starters? What might be going through his head?
I think that's pretty overwhelming. Kelce's big shoes to fill, right? I mean, he was supposed to learn from him this year, right? So I'm sure that there's a lot of that going on, but they drafted him that high for a reason. So I think Eagles fans shouldn't be too worried. I think he's a good player, but, Kelce's a tough shoes to fill. So I think that obviously is overwhelming to a young player, I'd say.
All right. Well, let's reset.
I'm really not sure where this is going.
Yes, me neither, Marissa. You and I are in the same boat here.
I'm your host, Bo Wolf. Zach Berman, who covers the team for The Athletic, Marissa Dunn, our superstar producer. Did you guys see that viral tweet from the podcast guy who gave the really insipid instructions on how a successful podcast is supposed to be. Like, you got to get to the news right away, then introduce everybody after that. Like, that's what people are tuning in for. Give them the news and then reset. Then you can have your conversation. So I wanted to see how that would go. What did you guys think?
Well, I did not see that tweet. And
yeah, me neither. It's
on brand to pick something esoteric. To pick something esoteric and think we are in on it. And just to tell our listeners, you know, we do, like, obviously we report the team, so we do prep for the podcast that way. But it's not as if Bo says before we jump on, hey guys, this is how I'm going to start it. So I'm all ready to talk Kelsey, you know, after a little, how are you? How's it, you know, how was your weekend, Marissa? That kind of thing. But we got right into it today. So do I think what works, I'm all for mixing things up, but I think what's worked well for us has worked well for a reason. And I just ask in the future, if we are going to mix it up, just give me a little heads up.
I mean, okay? I certainly cannot guarantee that.
He didn't even have the Stone Cold Newsman sounder to get prepared. He was
into it. We'll still give you that. There's other news that we can get to, but yeah, I wanted to see how that would go, you know?
And how do you think it went?
I think it was a funny bit to me, but we still got the news out there. We got the conversation. I mean, I thought it worked okay.
Worked okay. There you go.
Marissa, how was your weekend?
I can't even remember the weekend at this point. Weekend was good.
Big flex.
Yeah. How about you guys? How was the link I heard was popping on Saturday?
Yeah, Sunday? I'm not so sure I would agree with the estimated 30,000 in attendance. Yeah. But you know, that's not for me to call out necessarily. Looks more like 12, but
I'm not good at the estimating of the attendance. I thought there was a good atmosphere. We were on the field at the start of practice, and you could feel the buzz. Number one, and then
that's why Marissa can't remember her weekend.
And even the players have said the same. To give you a little color on this, AJ Brown has a rule: no diving in practice. Which makes sense. You don't want to get injured in practice. But we all saw, or I shouldn't say we all saw, many of us who are tuning in saw the viral clip of AJ Brown catching the touchdown from Jalen Hurts. The Eagles have put that clip out, so it's not just, you know, kind of the homemade cell phone versions of the shot. And AJ Brown said he dove there because it felt like a game. There was the energy from the crowd. So yeah, We haven't had so many of these practices that you need to mix it up, but it's always good to get into the stadium and then mix it up in that regard.
Oh, the sex bots are in the chat. That's exciting. Something that you miss if you are only an audio listener. You know, if you're not a live viewer, you don't get to see Naked HD saying that the future is here and all kinds of fun stuff. So I guess we should now reset things and send it over to the Stone Cold Newsman for everything beyond the Jason Kelce injury that is going on with this Philadelphia Eagles football team as they prepare for Friday night's preseason opener at the Link.
As was mentioned at the top of the show, the big news is Jason Kelce is undergoing arthroscopic surgery on his elbow. Elsewhere on the injury report, Devontae Smith remains sidelined with a groin injury. That's the big one to monitor. Andre Dillard and Jordan Mailata are making progress in their returns from concussions. The other injuries, Grant Calcaterra and LaRaven Clark, both with hamstring injuries. Kenny Gainwell, that injury has come up. He has a hip injury, leaving the Eagles undermanned running back core even further undermanned because Boston Scott also out. He has a concussion. John Hightower pops up on the practice report today with a groin injury. Jimmy Moreland with an ankle injury. Jaquiski Tart missed his second consecutive practice for personal reasons. Kerry Vincent Jr. has a groin injury. Greg Ward, this toe injury continues to linger into another week. And Carrick Weekfall with a hamstring injury. So those are the injury reports. The Eagles have one more full practice, that is tomorrow, before a Thursday walkthrough. And then they open the preseason on Friday night against the New York Jets. There's no word yet on how much the starters are going to play. They took in the first preseason game last year, at least the offensive starters, took about two series. I think it was, you know, 10 plays or thereabouts. Nick Sirianni said he's considering the same. My personal opinion on that, if I can inject some opinion into the news segment, is to take the under. In particular, while the Eagles have their left tackles coming off injuries, it would seem to be a little risky to have their to have Jalen Hurts out there behind Awashika. to have him behind Coyote Awashika at left tackle. So we'll see what happens there. Yeah, so we'll see what happens there. But I will pass it over to you because I think my usage rate is a little too high thus far.
The one time when it was hard for me to stay in character in that and not break in that initial thing was, and speaking of the sex bots, when you said he's got a little Kelsey in him. And it just, you know, brought to mind the old joke. So,
what's the old joke? Okay, I guess I don't want to go there. All right, I see Marissa laughing. So,
moving on. I don't know what it is, but doesn't sound good.
Okay, as long as, because I do believe there are times on this podcast where I'll ask a question, and Bo gives me this look as if like you should know it. So as long as Marissa and I are in on the joke together, that's fine.
Yeah.
Well, you're a comedy fan. I thought you might know.
Bo has pulled that out, by the way. The comedy thing, you know. Today we were talking to a listener, and I made
Adam,
a joke.
I believe, right?
And, yes, and Bo was like, "Well, Zach's a fan of comedy," as if this is like the funniest thing Bo has heard.
It's like everything else. We're making it through camp. You got to look for something to make you laugh. I know Marissa's looking for a laugh today, so yeah. We're trying to give it to her. Now on the starters potentially playing Friday, Sirianni said he was asked about this. He said like he liked what they did last year when the guys played, you know, like two series. He thought that worked, but as you said, I think the situation is different this year. I think with no Kelsey, with no. Now, Mailata and Dillard were limited today. It's possible that they could play. I would expect that if it were a regular season game, they would play. But I don't think there's really any need to push it here. My guess is that they will not play.
Yes, and the first preseason game last year was as this coaching staff was still figuring everything out, right? It was their first go-around. And I do know the coaching staff was especially happy with the work from the joint practices last year, both from a preparation perspective and from a workload perspective, right? They have the data of player exertion throughout practice, right? The loads that they take on. And the coaching staff was pleased with what came out of the Patriots practices and the Jets practices. So I do think them going to Cleveland next week, them going to Miami next week, that's absolutely going to inform the decisions as to how they handle the preseason. And the other thing too, is you have to look at league-wide trends here, right? This is not the preseason of 20 years ago. Same way, this is not the training camp of 20 years ago either. So I've been going into this summer with the expectation that we see very little, if any, of the starters during the total preseason.
Marissa, what's the level of excitement in Cleveland for the Birds with Friends gentlemen coming to town? How is the city ready?
I hope they're ready because I'm pumped. I cannot wait. I think it's going to be a fun few days. Excited to see, you know, after that that Jordan Davis clip went viral. I don't know if Michael was too excited.
Now, did Michael have a comment on center. That?
So he was like, "Oh wow, Jordan Davis." but you know, it was Juergens, right? Juergens
right,
did
yes.
his
yes.
did his job. You know,
right, there's some like there. It's getting a little overblown. Is that what he thought? Like,
yes, agreed. Okay. But I don't think it. I think he was still, you know, Jordan Davis
a big,
is obviously
strong,
a very good
man.
Player. Yeah, he's a very good player. So, but yeah, I think you know we were talking about this earlier. I think Juergens is proving himself out there. So, you know, maybe this is a blessing in disguise that he's going to get extra reps with Kelsey out. So obviously I know Eagles fans want Kelsey back.
Is Michael spending more time on the right side or left side these days?
He's been all over.
Okay.
All over and playing center. So, you know, got to show that versatility. So we'll see.
Well, I'm just curious because if it's the left, he's going to face more Hargrave. If it's the right, he'll get more Fletcher Cox. If it's the middle, probably a lot of the big fella, Jordan Davis. So
yeah, I'm very excited to see how that all goes. But yeah, can't wait for you guys to be in town. Our old friend is coming too, so we'll hopefully have to get Kent. The name that we should not mention. Yeah. No. Yeah, Sheil will be here. So he's obviously, we got to get him on the pod. So I can't wait to have you guys
here. I don't know. I mean,
I would love that. I mean, there's a lot of dynamics involved.
It's too soon. It's too soon. Like, you know, come on. Give it some space.
I am going to the Browns' first preseason game is in Jacksonville. So I'll get to see Dougie P's first game in Jaguars gear. So. Last year got to see Urban's first game and that went super well, obviously. So hopefully, Doug Peterson has
you said this off air, but it does feel like you for whatever reason, you end up in Jacksonville like once a year.
I swear, I think Michael might set the record for preseason games in Jacksonville. I know that area so well at this point. I think it's his five preseasons he's been in Jacksonville.
What was the most memorable?
Probably last year, maybe. I don't know. I think more
because you felt good about his standing on the team.
Well, it was like, you know,
because Urban was probably taking shots on the sideline.
Yeah. I don't know, but you know, interesting city. So I'm excited to go down, and you know, can't wait to see some actual football.
Yeah, because you know what? Here's the thing: is like as camp goes on, you get tired of seeing the same guys hitting guys on your own team. It's old hat, but when you can line up against somebody on another team in a different colored jersey, that's when the blood gets flowing. And what you really want, you want to go out there, you want to get hit on the first play because then your body, you really feel into it.
So here's something that's related to that. So you know how Bo no sells my jokes, right? Okay. So the Eagles today.
I would never.
So Bo just made a reference that, you know, you want to hit someone with different jerseys. So the Eagles switched their color jerseys. They switched their jerseys today.
I saw your tweet. That was interesting.
Yeah. The offense wore white. The defense wore green. It's usually the other way around. And I walk by Bo and I say, Bo, why do you think this is? And Bo could not care less.
Why do you think? He said, do you know why? So that's a little different because then you're asking if I actually know the answer.
Okay, so I said, do you know why they switched jerseys? And Bo, it was like, it was like an offense to him that I even brought this up. Like, how dare you ask me this? This is so beyond like my attention right now. Just completely no-sold the question.
Well, it wasn't the beginning of practice. It was like towards the end of practice. Like this has already been going on. And no, I don't know the answer. I didn't get to ask Nick why they changed jerseys. What do you want me to say? Their jersey smells. They needed to switch it up. I don't know.
I just didn't think it was such a like an asinine like it was like an affront to your viewing. Like I don't have time for this.
Right? Well, I didn't mean to. Yeah,
it's okay. I
think it's interesting, Zach. I would wonder if there's a reason behind it.
It was confusing, especially in the beginning of practice. Like,
yeah,
I walked toward
7-on-7s. I couldn't tell if it was a breakup or a catch at first.
I think I walked toward Martin Frank after that, figuring, you know, Martin will actually, you know, talk to me here. He's not offended by this question. So.
And
Martin did. Yeah. I always enjoy talking to Martin.
Did he have an answer for you?
Oh no, I didn't bring that up to him at that point. I was a little too self-conscious. Right.
Because you didn't sell it, Bo. He was like, I can't ask anybody else.
Then. I was like, geez.
I'm sorry. Yeah,
it's like sometimes you ask a question in a press conference and you're like, should I have known that? Yeah.
Speaking of which, somebody sent it to me. Like, you remember the question we were joking about, the Jalen Hurts thing, when I asked him about, like, as a joke, does Devontae Smith ever like tease you about like you continuously saying publicly that you're best friends with AJ Brown and Jalen Hurts had like no time for it whatsoever.
He no-sold it.
He pulled a me on you. Somebody sent me a thing where like there's a YouTube video of that question, like Jalen Hurts shuts down, stupid question from reporter. Like, okay, it's a joke question. trying to get some personality. Yeah. Like, it's like this a lot of views on this video. Like, what's going on? Calm down, everybody. All right,
you made it. right?
It's my big break.
I'm obviously about to look it up.
I think this could could land me a job at the Ringer. Okay. Let's backtrack to Juergens a little bit, because I actually think this is interesting, sort of like the ebbs and flows of training camp. You know, now that we're 2 weeks in, practice 9 or 10 or whatever it is, I actually think he's taken a bit of a step back the past couple of days. He hasn't been quite as dominant in one-on-ones, not even the Jordan Davis clip that went viral from the other night, but today he lost a rep to Marlon Tuipulotu, got pushed back pretty significantly. I think he's been a little bit imperfect the past few practices, which is, you know, sort of to be expected. He's a rookie. I think the defensive line like has a bit of a beat on him now. Like they've gotten sort of a scouting report from going up against him. So I just think it's sort of interesting to follow the ebbs and flows of guys like that. Like Devin Allen, for instance, has looked a little bit better to me than he did in the beginning of camp when I thought he was sort of lost. I think he's separating a little bit at this point. I still think he's like a long shot for the practice squad, but Juergens, I think it will be fun to follow over the next couple of weeks. And I would imagine that he will play, even though he's a nominal starter. I think you'll see him play. I think that they'll want to see him play.
Yes. And excuse me. I think that extends as well to some of their high profile rookies too. Jordan Davis, N'Kobe Dean. If you're looking for anything to watch Friday night, the rookies will be high on that list. As far as Cam Juergens, I defer to you for my O-line evaluations. You're all over that unit. So I think that I don't want to say in his defense, but the defensive line, particularly in the past week, but overall this summer, has been really good. And if you're looking for the biggest reason for optimism this year, I think I said this a year ago that, you know, their offensive line and their defensive line, and their defensive line was not as good as I expected last year, partly because of Brandon Graham, partly because of the scheme. But they are loaded on the defensive line. You know, they had in the first 7-on-7 period today, it was like a 5-2, right? And it was from our side to the other side. It was Hassan Reddick, Javon Hargrave, Jordan Davis, Fletcher Cox, and Brandon Graham. And like, you could substitute Josh Sweat in there. Then who are you taking off the field? Graham.
Williams can go in there.
Yeah. Milton Williams can go in there. They're deep. They're loaded. And those guys are in the backfield often. So not to take away from the Cam Juergens discussion, but this playing meaningful practice snaps against this group is going to prepare you for the season.
I think that's right. And I also think that eagle-eared listeners will take note that you did not mention you could put Derek Barnett in there and it would be the same level. I think they might take notice of that just out of your mouth. Let's take a little break and we'll get to the Quactus report on the other side, some other stuff that stood out from a practice that was not padded shells, and so it was not the most physical practice, but there were still some things to talk about.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
All right, back on Birds with Friends, Bo, Zach, and Marissa. I think we're going to try to get your homophonic brother on tomorrow, Zach Rosenblatt, for a little stint, talk about the Jets.
It'll be nice speaking to Zach again, number one. And number two, he's already doing good work on that Jets beat. I follow the Jets coverage, and it's great seeing Zach as a teammate.
He's sort of like the Doug Peterson of beat writers, because it's like...
How so?
Well, because the person before him was such a wild train wreck that like all he has to do is show up and do the job and be a professional to
let's be to nice. Really get out of. Let's be nice. No, I'm excited for Zach to come on. He's pumped too. And you know, obviously he could talk some Eagles as well, but Jets have had a lot going on. Mekhi Becton looks like he's gonna be out for the year. Yeah. So They're down some tackles, so that should be some interesting matchups with the Eagles defense, that's for sure.
Should trade for Michael Dunn.
So do you want a 30-second Zach Rosenblatt story? Unless you want to address
I want like an 8-minute Zach Rosenblatt story.
Unless you want to address the trade for Michael Dunn. I thought that
let's hear the Zach Rosenblatt story.
So this was 2019, my first year at the Athletic, and I'm trying to come up with creative original storylines. Something I need to frankly do better this season than I did last year and the year before. But 2019, I was happy with how that turned out. And during training camp, I see Jason Peters talking to or working with Andre Dillard. And this is a big topic in training camp, the work Jason Peters is doing with Dillard. And I asked Peters, who did that for him, right? You know, I thought this was – and he goes on about Jonas Jennings and speaking about Jonas Jennings. And I'm like, all right, I need to track down Jonas Jennings and talk to Jonas Jennings. And I you know, he's working at Georgia, and I call and I set this up, an interview with Jonas Jennings. And I'm walking to my car to do the interview one day. And two cars over in the parking lot, I see Zach Rosenblatt in his car on the phone, and I don't think anything of it. And then the next day, I see the story comes out, and it was the Jason Peters Jonas Jennings story that I was eager to write. He did a great job with it. He spoke to Jonas Jennings, and right there, I'm like, man, you know, a lot of respect here. And throughout that year, he wrote stories, and even you know when he went over and did the Giants beat up in Jersey, he wrote stories that I was impressed with the. Story ideas and the execution. So anyways, 30 seconds, 45 seconds or whatever to say I'm happy he's on our team.
Do you think Jonas Jennings was confused to be talking to two Zachs about the same thing?
That's a good question. You know, he might have thought you guys were the same person.
Like, didn't we just talk about this? Yes.
Yeah, he probably did, right? Yeah.
Did you lose the recording?
No, but I remember when his came out, you know, I'm like, all right, I need to get something more here. So I followed, you know, Jason Peters in the next day, and I spoke to Jason Peters about my conversation with Jonas Jennings to get more from him. And Jason, I remember Jason said to me, and you got to understand, I mean, Bo and Jason had, you know, they still have a good relationship, right?
We're best friends
for the Kelsey story, but he's not one for small talk like Jason Peters, right? And after the interview, and I'm like somewhere else, and he comes over to me. And when Jason Peters comes over to you, you're like, all right, what's going on here? You know, and he taps me.
Tell my family I love him.
He taps me on the shoulder, and he asks if I had Jonas Jennings' contact information, right? And that's I was like, yeah, I'll write this down for you, right? So, that's a little behind the scenes of that story.
That's nice. That's a nice story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
But when Jason Peters is coming over to you, you're like, what did I do wrong here? Right. I mean, Jason's not one who's saying, hey, how's the family? You know, so
it's okay. All right. Let's get to the Quactus report, Zach. What were the standout nuggets, depth chart notes, plays of the day for you?
So I would say big picture here, by the way, and we should say for our listeners and our viewers, Bo wrote the practice report today, so make sure you check that out.
That it is just posted live.
There you go. You can see it on the Athletic, and Bo's practice reports are awesome. So I'm excited myself for that.
Enough with the gazing up of my. Oh, nobody watches practice like you.
I need to say I thought today was a, for lack of a better term, lackadaisical practice. Right. Mm. I don't think that the energy level was there. I thought it was a bit sloppy in some cases. It was really hot. Right. They've had
Nick Sirianni was yelling at one point. Did you hear that?
I saw him. You know, he had the microphone today. He doesn't usually have the microphone. Is that right?
I thought it was a bullhorn. No,
it was the bullhorn. Yeah. Okay. He was projecting.
He does that just for those like when it's the last period sometimes, okay. If it's setting up a situation.
So yeah, there was
he was reaming out the threes after a 7-on-7 drill. He was reaming them out. He said,
"Was this the get session?
Get your S right." And I'm done with this. And that's it. Ones and twos only. Although later he did let the threes play again. So
well, I think it was a session with the twos. There was a really bad 7-on-7 period. Yeah, it was with the twos because Minshew was a quarterback where there were two interceptions. You shouldn't really have interceptions so much in 7-on-7s, right?
That's right.
Now there were good plays by the defense. You have to give them credit there. But look, there was in team drills, there were a lot of running plays. I thought Miles Sanders showed some good juice. They only had three running backs today in practice. Sanders, Huntley, and Kennedy Brooks. So undermanned there. But Sanders stood out. Your boy Coyote Awashika was first team left tackle. But then because of some injuries, he played guard as well today with some
injuries.
Yep.
Good opportunity for Coyote to show he could play different positions with these two injuries at left tackle. So good for Coyote.
You're absolutely right. Although for his candidacy to make the team, I think less left tackle is better for him.
Mm.
I don't see it at left tackle for him. But so what else jumped out today? I thought, seemed there were more deflections or drop passes today than typical. Is that accurate?
I think that's right. Yeah.
Okay.
AJ Brown had one of two drops that I've seen all camp in a team mm-hmm. period, and it actually then deflected off the defender and into Dallas Goedert's hands. But yeah, I thought I put in the practice report that the two best players of camp both had like very minor missteps for the first time. That, and that would be AJ Brown on the drop that I mentioned. And then Lane Johnson gave up a sack to Brandon Graham, I believe. But yeah, I mean, this is, again, the ebbs and flows of camp, hot day, day nine, you know, you're allowed to sort of not be 100%, I feel. I actually thought AJ Brown was otherwise, you know, very good today, just like he has been. He's awesome, man. He's like,
he is good.
He's so good. And he changes things for Jalen Hurts. Like I am as bullish on Devontae Smith as you are, I think, but he's much more of not fully a panacea, but like he solves more problems for Jalen Hurts than Devontae Smith does. I think one thing is the in-breaking routes that he's so dominant at that we've talked about that opens up a kind of pass that Jalen Hurts has not felt comfortable making, but also like he's just a little like, in terms of like contested catches and you can just sort of throw it to him. That's not really a thing that you would always do with Devontae. Like Devontae is so precise and can get open in a really impressive way. AJ Brown is like, if he's covered, you can still just sort of throw it up to him. And his hands are so strong. Like he actually, James Bradberry, your boy, made a great play today in one-on-ones where it was like super tightly covered. Jalen Hurts made a great throw back shoulder. AJ Brown went up and got it, like super impressive. But then when he was bringing it down, Bradberry was able to knock it out with his hands. But like AJ Brown is just like every day he is solving things on offense for the Eagles that they were not able to do last year.
Well said. I agree. I mean, he's been as advertised. He's 25 years old. He's locked up here, right? Like the exciting part.
Got James Bradberry's initials on his chest.
He does not. He has. That's his daughter's initials, JB. And
he was asked about this.
He was a little taken aback.
I'm going to have another man's initials on my chest.
Yeah,
and
I mean,
of course, after the press conference, you then went up to AJ Brown and said, "Well, yeah, but how much can I give you for the James Bradberry necklace?"
No, that's not at all what happened. And I knew all along that was his. I was not involved in this exchange. Okay. As a matter of fact, I asked the next question to try, you know, I asked him about similar to what I asked Nick the other night, you know, big plays for him. Are they more downfield or are they when he can run after the catch? And he spoke.
He gave a good answer about after the catch.
He spoke a lot about his run after catch ability. He says that he feels when he catches a ball, you can add like 10 yards to the catch right there. And that people don't want to bring him down, basically, right? So I, you know,
so his goal when he wants to, there's no hesitation. He catches the ball. He wants to be able to catch the ball and continue running full speed when he has the ball. And if the defender stops for like just 1 second, hesitates to decide what angle to take, he knows he's gone.
I know the Eagles kind of put out Anquan Boldin comparisons when they like at the point they acquired him.
Did they?
I think Howie said that actually publicly, maybe on Rich Eisen's show. I think he mentioned Anquan Boldin. Okay. To me, and actually I see in the chat, The Truth said this. I've written this. It seems like hyperbole, but it's not. It's going to remind you of T.O., right? He's just the way he's built, the way he runs, it's very T.O.-ish, in my opinion.
Lofty, but not unfair. I think it's fair. Okay. Did you notice which undrafted rookie got a couple snaps with the first team defense today?
Did I notice which undrafted rookie got? Was it Reed Blankenship?
It was.
Yeah. Okay.
It was Reed Blankenship. Now, what they did was it was like the last snap before they went to the second team. Blankenship would go in for Anthony Harris and play next to Marcus Epps. I think it happened two or three times. I think I gotta cement it. I think I did. Now,
wow.
I can't. This is a little bit. I know there's some beef that people are trying to foment between Jimmy Kemsky and me about the origin of Dick Rod. I'm not here to comment. I'm not here to comment on Dick Rod.
Also, Coyote. I think there's some beef that they're trying.
I think that's them just trying to make a joke because I think they know.
So the beef is really the Dick Rod stuff. Mine.
I have to give credit here. I was talking to Jimmy about Reed Blankenship. Jimmy wrote up Reed Blankenship as a potential prospect for the Eagles in his fall series, not once but twice, 2 years in a row. So he's been on Kemsky's radar. So he gets some credit here.
Some, right? He gets some credit. But yeah, Bo's watching for 2 weeks.
He discovered him first. No, but this is a separate conversation. This is who is my crush? I mean, it's not quite an Elijah Riley conversation. So Jimmy was on Blankenship first. Let there be no doubt. It's not quite as emotional for me as some of the past camp crushes. But I mean, you know, that's normal, right? Like in middle school, you probably remember your first crush more than like your fifth crush. I don't know.
Middle school.
Is that a thing?
Like fourth, fifth grade, right? Know. Yeah.
We didn't all start watching Boy Meets World in second grade, Zach. But I think it's Blankenship. He moves better than you might expect.
What's that mean?
Well, he lost the season to injury, and he's a white guy. He's from Middle Tennessee State. You know, I don't know. This is not. If you're going to typecast the guy, you might not expect he moves that great. I think it seems like he's got fairly good instincts. It's very difficult to judge linebackers and safeties in training camp. No doubt. It's the hardest thing to judge, I think. But he seems like he has good instincts against the run. When I watch him, he's always not a lot of hesitation, and he's going to the right place. The leading tackler in Middle Tennessee State history. I could go with the Josh Jobe. I think Josh Jobe has flashed lately. I think Jobe, Blankenship, and Covey are the three undrafted rookies who have an outside chance, or at least a chance, to make the team. But I think relative to like the guaranteed money that the other undrafted rookies got, Blankenship's pretty low down on that list. I think he's showed up well for himself. I'm looking forward to seeing him in the preseason games. I like a Blankenship. I'm willing to make him my guy.
Okay,
but I like he's not my guy alone. Unfortunately, I can't stake a full claim to him like I can Elijah and Coyote and Sua.
Have you ever been to Murfreesport?
I have. We played it. We played them once in club baseball.
Really?
We made the drive to Murfreesboro. What? And it's always like I always thought it was like, are you guys? Is this a joke? That's not. You mean Murfreesboro? Like, what is this? Are you misspelling this on purpose? No, Murfreesboro.
Okay.
Yeah. So it was a funny
so did I pronounce it incorrectly? Is it
Murfreesboro? No, you said Murfreesboro.
Yes, okay.
Yeah, but it sounds like it's like a a bad lisp or something.
Oh, okay. Okay.
It sounds like it should be Murfreesboro, but someone's saying Murfrees, but it is Murfrees.
Gotcha. Yeah, I've been there too. Cool town.
Yeah, when did you go? What'd you like about it?
Well, I stopped on the way from Nashville to Atlanta. And
checked out the student union?
Did not. I was taking my sister on college visits and we stopped. I want a barbecue. And so stop for barbecue on the way. So, nice. Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to leave that one alone. You know who else I like who doesn't quite, who could qualify? Guy who's on my radar that I think could light up the preseason. Christian Ellis. I like Christian Ellis.
Okay. Now he was on the team last year.
He was. He was on the practice
squad. He actually played a game for them.
Yes, but he's PKT. Like way down the linebacker depth chart. He's the forgotten man there. I think he's got a little bit of game to him, and it's interesting. He's like the Andy Weidel of the roster because the Eagles fired his brother.
Well, they didn't fire his brother. They waived him with a non-football injury, which is a little different.
He was employed and then he wasn't, so they fired him.
Yeah, he got hurt, and he's actually still technically on the roster. He goes on the reserve NFI list, right? It's simply if he got the injury before camp and
Do you know, is it the same injury that he suffered at the combine? He like tore his hamstring running the 40 or something like that.
That I don't know. I would expect you to be all over that one. I do not know that.
Okay. We'll ask Christian one day.
Yes. All right. Those are good, camp crushes, and Blankenship is looking decent there at safety. Yeah.
You got any idea what's going on?
By the way, Blankenship though did he rolled up the jersey, right? So a little harder spot in terms of the number. Mm.
But well, again, there are giveaways. Not that hard a spot. Yes. Yeah, yes. They're pretty easy giveaway. Okay. On Blankenship. What's going on with Jaquaski Tartt? Any idea?
Personal
reasons. He's been out of practice for a couple days.
Yes.
He has not done much. I think would you say water gun to your belly button? Is Jaquaski Tartt on the team week one? Does he make the 53?
I'm still saying yes. And the reason I'm saying yes is because it's not a position that you're especially deep at. I understand. With all those vested veterans, you're wondering, do you want to guarantee the contract or can you get, you know, do you want to play a little roster roulette, if you will, where you cut a guy, you sign him after week one so you don't have to guarantee the deal? I suppose that's a possibility. I think that's one where they will at least want some veteran fortification. That said, and, you know, I was speaking to someone today about a different position on the roster. I mean, I'm being purposefully cryptic here, but like it was about
we're talking to Jeffrey about quarterbacks.
I was not speaking to Jeffrey about quarterbacks. I was speaking to someone in the NFL about a position on the Eagles. And I was basically saying, like, I don't know how many they're going to keep there right now because a lot of it depends on what the injury situation is going into going into the regular season, because there are players who invariably they're going to put on IR after cutdown, but they have to carry them on the initial 53. So this is what makes Bo, I don't want to say king of the beats. I'm not going to give you that title. At least king of the 53 man roster projection, because you're very savvy about the roster machinations. You can predict what they're going to do there. That's going to be a big thing. Like take someone like Grant Calcaterra, right? Is he going to be back for the regular season? Or is he someone who you're going to put on IR early in the season? Some of these injuries, there are going to be players who have soft tissue injuries or injuries that come up during these next 3 weeks who you're going to put on short-term IR.
And the IR rules are different now, right? You can only bring a select number of people back.
No, I think you can bring back as many people as possible.
I think it changed. I think it's...
As you speak, I will look this up.
Yeah, I think it was last year you can bring back as many, but I want to say it's only
I know one thing this year
that you could bring as many.
And
now, but it's still 16 teams. 16-player practice squad. Puck rule has changed to 4 weeks from 6 weeks. Now, on Calcaterra, the Tyree Jackson question is big here, because if he's going to be back before the before week one, maybe you got more flexibility with Calcaterra.
So here you go here. As I'm reading this, you're now allowed to bring them back after four games. Okay. And teams will now have eight players permitted to return from IR. We're
all over it.
Yeah. Okay. That's kind of disappointing, you know? Like
it is, but eight's a lot also.
Yeah, eight is a lot, especially if they have to miss four games. But you know,
That doesn't seem prohibitive.
And they can do
it's better than two, what it was years ago.
Right. Exactly.
So
and they can do it twice per season. So last year, if you put a player on IR for the second time, they were out for the year. Based on my interpretation here, a player can return from AR twice per season, but each time counts toward the allotted eight designations.
That's good. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Thank you for being all over that, Marissa.
You got it.
Queen of the beats. All right, let's take our second break and come back with whatever else we've got left. Good tease. All right, back on Birds with Friends, Bo, Zach, and Marissa. Zach, I thought Zach Pascal flashed a little bit today. He didn't do much in team drills, but in 7-on-7s and 1-on-1s, I saw some more twitchiness. And, you know, he made that comment on Twitter that, like, everybody's talking about him like he's just a blocking receiver. He'll route your EOA up, he said. And I saw him route some people up today. He looked good.
I agree with you. I think he's a good player. I think he's – look, I'm not sure you want to have him as the, you know, top of your depth chart, which he's not right now, right? But he's a good guy to have on your depth chart. He's a good guy to have on your game day roster. He can play multiple spots, right? We discussed this in the last podcast about why Nick Sirianni likes him. But the athleticism's there. You know, he's probably better than he's more athletic, it seems, than his former ODU teammate. Yeah, shots fired.
Rick Lovato?
No, Travis Fulgham, right? Yeah. Travis Fulgham had a great October 2021. Or I'm sorry, 2020.
You don't need to tell me.
Yeah.
He won some Ospreys.
Yes.
I thought Quez Watkins was more involved today than he has been in team drills. A couple of nice catches during.
Got banged up once, but then was in there in the next play.
Yeah, and to your larger point, like the Eagles are in better shape in that wide receiver room than they have been in a very long time. You've got a star in AJ Brown. You've got Devontae Smith, who is a borderline one, but perfectly cast as a two. You've got Quez Watkins, who can stretch the field, has real top-end speed, and can do a little bit more than that. You've got your boy Pascal, who can do a little bit of everything. Jalen Reagor has looked good to me, and I'm pretty Reagor skeptical, I would say, and he continues to stack the days and look the part a little bit. He had a really nice route in one-on-ones against Zach McPherson today. He just, you know, it doesn't really change my opinion of like what the future holds for him. But if you're going to, you know, if one of those four guys goes down, I think you're at a point now where you wouldn't feel terrible about giving Reagor another chance on the field to be involved.
Howie, I know you're listening right now. I think it was the 57:30 mark in the podcast. All right. And it went to about 58:15. You can clip that, send it on your text message channel to the rest of the NFL. Right there. That is.
Believe me. Well, go ahead. No, NFL.com. Shout out to Greg Rosenthal. I saw he had his, like his 51 notes from around the league. And in there was like, Bo Wolf says Jalen Reagor is having his most consistent camp thus far. And I'm sure that Howie saw that. And he sent it out on the GM chat to everybody.
Exactly.
Absolutely. I think you're right.
Like, look, it's not just me. This guy's an astute practice observer, and he sees this happening. Guys, like you, if you have a day three pick that you want to make conditional into something a little higher, if there's a running back or a tight end or a safety on your roster who you drafted, let's say first or second round a few years ago, and
maybe running back's a good idea.
Yeah. Let's do a little exchange here, right? We don't want to see him go, but we're deep at this. Like this is, mm-hmm. this is straight from the text messages. Right. So, yeah. So I think,
all you guys who are telling me JJ was a great pick. Here's a,
yes,
here's a bargain for you.
And then you put in there, guys, let me just tell you, Philadelphia is a really tough place to play, right? Mm-hmm. In a different
it's a
market,
change of scenery is going to do him good.
This guy will shine. These writers are ruthless when it comes to these players here.
And obviously we're joking, but like, I do think that a change of scenery would do him good.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I hope he turns it around. I think he's been better. He's been better this summer than I've ever seen him be. Consistent.
Yeah. I was talking to someone about this recently who was making that point. And he's like, some guys are just wired to play in Philly and some aren't. And they're like, look what happened to Nelson Aguilar after he left. Look what happened to Ronald Darby after he left. I don't think Ronald Darby was really like picked on so much.
Right.
Like Ronald Darby had to get out of here in order to thrive.
Right.
I don't, you know, if you want to say that about Nelson, okay. Now I would argue.
Also, Nelson had one good year.
Yeah. And I would even say Nelson's 2017 season was up there with his like 2020 yeah, season in Vegas, right? Or 2020 season in Vegas. So, but no, it is true. I do think, especially with high draft picks, it's hard to escape the context. I wrote this when the Eagles drafted. Oh, I'm sorry. When they re-signed Derek Barnett, that in a different place, you're talking up the Derek Barnett signing here. You can't disregard the context.
Yeah, and to your larger point, I do think that they would love to trade him. If anybody's willing to give up anything, I think that would be great. My concern with Rager is that, you know, he's undersized, and so if he doesn't really have the juice to separate, it's hard for him to be impactful. And he hasn't had that, like, juice with the ball in his hands either. So like, I do think it's an uphill road for him to be a contributing player, but I think I feel better about those odds now than I did a month ago. Okay. I think that's about it. I'm trying to see if I have any more specific notes that we should get to. Anything else jump out to you?
I'm curious, did you make anything from Jonathan Gannon's press availability today?
I thought his answer was, I asked him about the blitz rate, you know, related to Sirianni's point about, you know, you never really want to be in the bottom quarter, bottom third in the league in anything sort of tendency based. He's talked about it with motion, and also again with Hurts throwing the ball over the middle. And so I asked Gannon about that relative to blitz rate, and he said that he agrees. We'll see if that is the case. I mean, they were towards the very bottom of the league in blitz rate last year. It's a little bit like the AJ Brown signing, where like this guy's skill set by design is theoretically going to force you into fixing this. Like Hassan Reddick being on the team should theoretically just alone make you want to blitz more, but we'll see.
What do you make of Britton Covey? Because he continues to look, I don't think it's coincidence that he's been the first one up in return drills. I think he's going to get a chance this summer to win the return jobs.
I think so. But he's been good. He's been good lately. I think that he's been, as a receiver, like he's been quicker to get to his quickness, which Sirianni talked up, meaning that like earlier in camp, it there was like a lot of chopping and hesitating before he got to the move that he was going to try to separate with. I think he's been quicker throughout that process of late. But I think I don't think he's going to make the team as a receiver. I think it's all about whether he wins the return job. I think you're probably right that they're going to give him that opportunity. I still think like Huntley is fine, and Huntley got some time with the ones today because they're so hamstrung there. as a kickoff returner. I think he's got some juice. You know, I don't know. Maybe Covey's cut a little side deal with Jeffrey Lurie, and that's what's going to get him on the team. But
I don't think it's that. I think here I'm pulling up as we speak here from the Beast. Okay, you're looking at someone who was freshman All-American 2015. He was first team All Pac-12 in 2018. First team, you know, on special teams, by the way. First team All Pac-12 2020. First team All-American 2021. This was as a specialist, so as a returner. He had a 77-yard punt return touchdown in 15. He had 64-yard punt return touchdown in 2020, 97-yard kick return touchdown in 2021, 80-yard punt return touchdown in 2021, 78-yard punt return touchdown in 2021. As Michael Clay told us the other day, I saw Khalif said Sweat as I was saying Michael Clay. Not all, like, the special teams production doesn't necessarily translate from college to the NFL because the personnel that's out there is different. I thought that was a good point that made me think from Clay. But I do think return instincts are interesting. You know, I do think they matter. Britton Covey had 11.7 yards per punt return with 5 career touchdowns on special teams. And so the Eagles badly need to improve their return units. That was a problem last year. If he looks good this summer, I can see him returning for that.
I also like, it would be great for the Eagles to have an explosive returner. It would be fine if they could just have a reliable returner.
Sure.
Like they haven't had guys back there who could just, you know, you could check the box that they're going to catch the ball and get like 4 yards instead of like running around backwards and maybe fumbling the ball. So if he can just be steady, I think that's a possibility. The other thing though is like, is another team going to claim Britton Covey? Can you get him onto the practice squad and elevate him on game days early in the season? I don't know. I don't think it's a done deal.
This is why your 53 man projections are so good, right? It's not like there's always the question, you know, I'm not going to say who asks it, but there's always the question, like, is this your best 53? And the answer is no, this is not your best 53, right? This is the 53 that makes the most sense in terms of contracts, in terms of practice squad, in terms of who you can sneak, who you can claim off of waivers. It's not just like, give me the best 53 guys, right? There's a lot that goes into it. And
there's always, go ahead.
I was just going to say, because of these roster rules, there's more strategy involved than 15 years ago, let's say. Mm.
Yeah, and it's also like you always overrate the fringe guys who are close to you, who you're watching every day. I think it was maybe last year was like, oh, they can't get rid of T.Y. McGill. He'll get scooped up right away. I mean, T.Y. McGill.
Who said that?
Everybody.
I once did it with, and this guy's become like a superstar, right? Like I wish my books sold as well as his books do. I pumped myself up a little too much. I don't have plural. I have one book, right? He has plural, but Emmanuel Acho, was like the king of that fourth preseason game against the Jets. And I can recall 2013, I was like, it was him and Chris McCoy were the two guys. And I was like, they cannot cut these guys. They cannot cut these guys, right? They play their way onto the roster. You know, you can't tell me you're keeping the best team, your best players. You can't tell me the games matter if you don't keep these guys. And I think they got them both. Actually, I think McCoy was claimed somewhere. But
I think he was.
Yeah. Yeah, but I actually think Acho went through.
I think Jacksonville, if I remember correctly.
Yes, but they were able to keep Acho. But Acho, I mean, credit to him because he's like a superstar in this business now. But for 2 or 3 years, and I don't feel bad saying this, Emmanuel, if someone sends you this clip, you can agree here. He was like my story off of that Jets game like 2 or 3 years in a row. And now he's sitting with Oprah. He is a superstar. So credit to him.
I can only think of one person who loves Emmanuel Acho as much as you do, and I will not say who that is.
Okay, I if our listeners know, please clue me in. This is like the joke from the top where I don't know the reference.
Yeah, I'm going to leave it unsaid. But
okay,
somebody somewhere will get it. All right, okay. That'll do it.
That's on brand.
For this episode.
Somebody somewhere will get it. If I had to explain Bo as a podcast host, I would say somebody somewhere will get it.
Yeah, that could be my memoir. Nobody's going to read it. One person, the somebody somewhere. That's fine. All right. So for Zach and Marissa and Elijah and Emmanuel, I'm Bo. We thank you for listening. We will be back tomorrow to talk about the last practice before the preseason game. Hopefully get a little Rosenblatt in and, keep this train humming along, to mix some more metaphors. So thanks for listening, everybody. We'll talk to you tomorrow. And as always, we love you.